It's Ryan and Jay here with you on The Rush.
Seems like a plan, no?
Work to rule. Yeah, it's not a bad plan.
Thank you.
Work to rule strike action is set to begin. The Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario is set to begin their work to rule job action on November 26th. Looks like the Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation planning the same thing. We'll get to that part of it with Ontario's Education Minister in just a second, because that is a lot of new information today. But Stephen Lecce, the Education Minister, joins us to talk about that. And another announcement today that the government did make when it comes to that original proposal of four online courses that young people would have to take before they graduated. They have scaled that back to two. Minister Lecce, why did you make that decision today?
Well, good to be on the show again. Look, I'm very committed to putting each and every student on the path to success. I think it's fair to say that technological fluency, understanding technology and using it, is vital. I think in a disruptive economy, in a tech economy, we need to make sure young people understand those skills, and they have them. But at the same time, part of the responsibility of leadership is to listen to those we serve. And what I was hearing overwhelmingly is two things. One, families wanted, or for the kids themselves, a bit more time to take the courses over the course of their 4 years in school and high school. And two, they wanted to have a reduced maximum of courses. And so what we've done is we have announced today that we're going to be proceeding with online learning, which exists in colleges and universities for well over a decade. Just to contextualize, 60,000 students take online courses right across Ontario today. And it's going to be taught by Ontario teachers, certified teachers. It's going to be made in Ontario infrastructure. We're going to build it in this province. We're going to export it across the country. We're going to create incredible course offerings that provide diversity of courses, because so many kids say to us, my school, small or large, just doesn't offer some of those STEM courses, or, you know, in science, technology, engineering, and math. So we've provided that option. I think it's a positive thing. I think parents will respond positively to the fact that we've listened, but more importantly, that we're still embracing the strengths of 21st century learning.
So this in no way was an olive branch to teachers who had been against the idea from the outset?
Well, I think what it demonstrates, to be honest with you, is just we've been reasonable through the process. I don't want to suggest it's not part of the consideration, but I would just tell you that the driver for me was listening to students saying, listen, I'm okay taking two courses, but it's got to be, you got to give me more phase in, which is why we've announced that, you know, while this is commencing in September of 2020, the completion requirement is not going to be until 23-24. Meaning if you're a grade 9 student going into September, you know, in 2020, so next September, you have 4 years to complete those courses at your leisure, on your will, at courses of your interest. And we think that that is going to give them the flexibility they need. And I think, to be quite frank with you, we ought to be embracing this. I mean, look, you know this better than I. Technology is part of the reality of the marketplace and the global economy. I want young people to have those skills. I want them to harness that potential, but I also want them to have access to courses that otherwise they may not have. Right now, there's well over 130 courses in English and French offered right across Ontario for kids. We've seen 17% increases every year, each and every year since 2011. It's not like this is some, you know, small micro uptake. There's a lot of kids taking it, and it's growing organically. So we think there's interest there, but I'm assuring parents, we're going to give kids the flexibility to take it on their timeline. We're going to offer way more courses, a world-class standard of courses with a real emphasis on STEM, and we're going to try to make them make learning relevant using different platforms that reach young people. And I think it's fair to say that this platform resonates with a lot of youngsters. There's also going to be some exceptions built in, because there are families out there who know that their child may not be best to learn on this basis, particularly kids with some exceptionalities, you know, intellectual or developmental disabilities. So we've committed to having a carve out for those kids as well. So this is not a one size fits all program. For kids that ought to be taking it, we think the overwhelming majority should. And I do think, to your point about labor, it shows we've been reasonable. But the challenge for me is, on the day I made the announcement, again, you know, I've got another union announcing they're commencing, OSSCF commencing further escalation next week. which I think is really regrettable, given that they just announced another escalation step last week. The French Union is saying that they're taking the next step in escalation. It's a common thread here.
Okay, and this is what I want to ask you about. This is our education minister here in Ontario, Stephen Lecce. I mean, at what point, you've got ETFO, they're going to begin their work to rule strike action November 26th. Next week, it will be the same for Ontario secondary school teachers, saying they're not going to participate in the EQAO preparation or testing. They're not going to be filing reports with the Ministry of Education. All of the things that we've seen with ETFO, it seems the OSSTF is following suit. At what point do we admit that the education system or the teachers' unions are at war with this government? Because from anybody sitting on the outside of this, that's exactly what it seems. It seems like you guys are under attack and that they're out to get you no matter what. Do you feel that way?
You know, I honestly think a lot of parents out there just feel that this is a very one-sided experience. The government has shown week over week that we've been reasonable, making offers, trying to incite them to stay at the table. On Monday, I announced mediation, and I'm criticized for it. You know, I mean, mediation. I'm looking to a third-party, independent. We used mediation with QP, which, for context for listeners, was the education workers that we got that deal with about a month ago, that famous Sunday night. We used mediation. It worked.
Well, here's how I want to play for you.
Anything but practical and sensible, because at the end of the day, my mission for parents is to keep their kids in class. And I think there's a trajectory unions are on, and I do not like it. And I think the fact is, let's call a spade a spade. They're escalating day after day after day. It seems like they have an end goal that they will achieve irrespective of what I do. But I'm going to continue, notwithstanding that, to be reasonable at the table, make offers that show the people of this province. I want an enduring deal that provides parents continuity, because they should not. They should not have to be in the same place every 3 years, where, you know, the one commonality between the left and the right, New Democrats, Liberals, and Conservatives, it's not that we share values or perspectives on life, it's that the unions escalate irrespective of the government, and I find that unacceptable, and I really hope in my heart of hearts that they'll consider mediation as a pathway to get a deal.
You mentioned it seems like they have an end goal. Is that end goal in your mind that these unions want a strike?
You know, I think there's a way out of that. I think accepting mediation is a pathway that will get us to a deal. So I want to remain, you know, modestly optimistic that there is a way. Remember, we had similar discussions leading into QP, and a lot of people said, oh, Lecce, you're not going to get it done. There's no way. And, you know, I thought it's important we stay measured and we stay focused on getting deals. So, you know, I'm not going to let any eventuality. I do think that there is a pathway there, and I hope that the unions will remember that when they escalate, they're not pressurizing me. They're not hurting the government or some politician. They're not affecting the union leadership, nor are they affecting the trustees. The only audience that gets hurt here are our kids. I mean, with respect, when I hear union leaders saying, oh, but, we're, you know, don't worry, it's not going to affect your kid, but we're not focusing on math in schools anymore. We're not, for example, going to be doing report cards to measure success. Sorry, the only person that gets hurt are kids. And I just think it's laughable to hear anyone submit that that's not going to have an impact on learning or on the effectiveness of learning for these kids. At a time when we know math scores are plummeting, my goodness, the last thing you ought to be doing is compromising numeracy, financial literacy, mathematic competencies in the class. So, look, I want to tell the folks of this province, I know I'm not moved by the approaches they're taking. They can do what they were going to do. I'm going to stay at the table. I'm never going to leave the table. And I'm going to demonstrate the same professionalism and focus on kids as I did with QP when we got that deal. And I want to see more deals with teachers. And to be frank, I think overwhelming amount of teachers want the deals.
All right,
seems really committed to escalation, and I hope that stops.
Let me play something for you. This is OSSTF head Harvey Bischoff. I want you to listen to what he had to say this afternoon.
The minister has suggested that OSSTF hasn't really moved at the table. Is that a fair characterization of what's going on?
The minister has begun to move from spin into something, towards untruths, really.
Now, if somebody accuses me of using untruths, they're calling me a liar. That's what I read into that. When a union head calls the education minister a liar, what does the education minister, you, say back?
You know, I say, stop making this about yourself or myself. It isn't about you, sir. It isn't about any politician, lawyer, or union leader. It's about our kids. And it's about time we start talking about our kids. Because if we had leadership at the table focused on students, we would not be in the situation we're in. Today I announced we're moving to 2 online courses from 4. 3 weeks ago, I announced with that union, with the secondary union, to move from 28 provincial average of class sizes to 25. On the very days we did this, the escalator, here's another pointer, today with OSSTF, with their education workers, remember they have two unions, they've got the teacher side and the worker side, we communicated through the mediator that we want to propose the same deal for OSSTF education workers that CUPE got, agreed to, and ratified. And we were told unequivocally that that we're not taking that deal because, of course, as you will know, we put the deal with CUPE has a 1% increase for compensation and 1% for benefits. And OSSTF on their website want more. They want 2%, which for teachers' unions means $1.5 billion. Folks, I don't make it up. Go on the website to check it out. The bottom line is it's frustrating because, you know, CUPE workers accepted it, but yet that deal was unacceptable for OSSTF, and the fault line there was compensation. And I just think it is regrettable. So, look, I don't want to make this about the personal, the cult of personality. I don't care about the people involved. I care about the kids who are impacted by strikes and by unions escalating each and every day. And I'm asking them, please, in good faith, to remain focused on students and to stay at the table, and let's get a decent deal we could all live with that keeps kids in class, that protects quality education in the province of Ontario. Remember, our government just announced through the economic statement a week or two ago another increase, the largest investment ever in Ontario's history under this progressive conservative government, the single largest investment in mental health, in special ed, in transportation, in French language
Minister,
education.
We're doing a lot,
and we're going to go further.
I have to ask you the big question that a lot of parents on one side of this argument are asking. Would you ever, and again, I'm not talking in the circumstances we're looking at now, but perhaps down the road, would you ever consider a scenario where you lock these teachers out?
You know, I'm not there. I was asked a whole bunch of hypotheticals. I appreciate the question. I mean, I'm not fault for asking, but I just asked so many questions that were not horribly constructive in the context of getting deals leading into CUPE, and I'm going to remain as prudent then as I was today. That's not the area of focus. I want to see the teachers accept a deal that is good for all of us. All of us. I don't mean just the government. I think there's an opportunity to get a win-win-win proposition. We did it with CUPE. This government got a deal with labor, and I'm hoping they'll do the same with us because there's too much at stake. A child's education, the continuum of learning, it should not be impeded because a bunch of lawyers can't get their act together. And when you walk away from the table, when you turn your back on kids, when you escalate, that hurts them. I think it really frustrates families who feel that it doesn't matter the time, the party, the premier. It's the same old tactics, and I just wish that they will ponder and reflect, sober reflection on their next steps, and hopefully it's de-escalating tactics, not escalating approaches, that I think ultimately would help us get to a deal. That constructive tone would be best.
Look, on the other side of it, let me ask you, because there are teachers writing in right now saying that when you say you care about the kids, that that's nothing more than government jargon, that those are buzzwords that every government has used, and it's not true and it doesn't ring true.
Okay, well, my commitment to education is premised on two things. One, we are investing in the largest investment ever recorded in Ontario history in education, the defense of public education. Step one, that includes another $200 million more dollars this year we just announced to improve education outcomes. But the second thing is beyond the investment, which is already at a historic high for mental health, for special ed, for all types of priorities. The second is we are consistently focused on giving young people the tools to succeed. Back to basics with math, a $200 million four-year math strategy, a focus on updating our curriculum that has more of a labor market lens, because so many kids graduate, and I mean post-high school, into college, university, or apprenticeship, and they can't get a job. We have generational voices at the table. I'm a generational politician. I'm at the table making sure that our cabinet, our team, among many others, are there thinking about how do young people go from the journey of learning into a good-paying job? How's that a seamless process? We have a youth unemployment rate that is twice the national average, and yet we have a 29-year low for unemployment. How could both be true?
Minister,
so we're fighting to give kids the tools, the knowledge, the competencies they can apply in the real world, in their life, and in careers so they can lead to good-paying jobs. We want them to be productive. We want them to be positive citizens, and that's why our education reforms are so important.
We appreciate taking the time to talk to us today.
Okay, have a good night.
Ontario's Education Minister, Stephen Lecce.